Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning appointment with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, good morning to you. A story today about the CDC saying some nursing homes and hospitals no longer need to require universal masking. Tell me what you think about this and what it will mean.
Yeah, Bob, you know, I saw that as a CBS story earlier in the weekend and was trying to chase it down and see if it was actually true, because it would be big for us, I think. You know, if you look at what we're doing and where we're wearing masks right now, health systems are the only place, in the hospitals and in nursing homes, and yet we're probably the most highly vaccinated population around. And I think, too, that one thing that people don't understand is the importance of that reassuring smile, that facial expression from the doctor to the patient. And also, we have to understand that when we're wearing masks, we are not communicating as well. People who are hard of hearing actually need to read lips as well as hear what people can say. So personally, I think it's good. We already know what times and what patients we need to be very careful in, and we gown and mask and go into those rooms based on the patient's, you know, diagnosis. So I think it would be a good idea. It'll be interesting to see if it pans out. And I think everyone in the healthcare field can take a little bit of each side, saying, well, we're still being overprotective because we have immunocompromised patients, but we know who those patients are as well. So we're very protective in the hospital, but I think it would be good.
Good point about the smile, because oftentimes when you're with the doctor or in a hospital, you're sick or you're nervous, and we need that good bedside manner, don't we?
100%. You know, I can't reinforce the importance of that. Whether you're delivering bad news to somebody and they need to just see the compassion in your eyes and in your face, or whether, you know, you're there saying, hey, come on, we can do this, and, you know, that smile and that votes of encouragement, a lot of it not only comes from your voice, but from your facial expression that the patient's seeing.
Let me ask you a couple of things that I think are uppermost on people's minds right now. First of all, any difference between the Moderna and the Pfizer booster? Is one better than the other?
No, really, they're both excellent. They're both great. The only difference, really, is the ages, right? Moderna, you have to be over the age of 18, where Pfizer actually did the study down to the age of 12. So if you're between the ages of 12 and 18, you don't have a choice. You got to have Pfizer. But if you're older, you can go with either one. And everyone's asking, can I mix and match? And you certainly can. This is one of those where if you're over the age of 18 and you get into, you know, CVS or Walgreens to get this, then take either one or take whichever one they have. And I would also recommend that you get a flu shot at the exact same time.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the flu in a second, but yeah. On the booster, am I right here that one of the sub-variants, the booster may not protect you against that strain as much as you'd like?
Yeah, and that's probably one of our biggest concerns right now. You know, the BA4, BA5 that are circulating right now, it appears that this vaccine works great for those. But unfortunately, we have a couple other ones coming out right now. And the BF7 is one of the ones that is probably the most concerning. Now, we know that BA4.6, 2.75, and BF7, those are making up about 20% of cases now in the United States and continuing to grow. So really important that we squelch this and slow this infection down now before those strains can become dominant.
A couple of University of Illinois professors wrote an editorial. It's in the Tribune today, and the headline is, "Will predictions of a severe flu season come true?" And I guess the point of this article is that it still remains to be seen what's going to happen here. But based on what has happened already in the Southern Hemisphere, what are most of the medical experts saying about this?
Yeah, we have to remember that. We look to the Southern Hemisphere every year just during their winter when we're in summer, just like they do for us. You know, that's how we predict what strains are going to be around and the impact of them. And they had a terrible flu season. You know, they saw this huge early spike, which is one of our biggest concerns right now because we have vaccine fatigue. If we get this big early surge and BA4 and BA5 push as well, you know, you can have a, you know, the twindemic kind of idea. So really, it's going to be health professionals and media pushing the importance of getting a flu shot this year. Everyone has to remember, you know, a normal flu season for us, we have anywhere from 26 to 40,000 deaths in the United States. So this is not a benign illness. Certainly when you get it, you feel terrible for a good, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 days. But we have to understand that this can also cause death. So hopefully everyone does look at it. You know, the match is, you know, one of those where I don't want to say it's a crapshoot, but it's one of those where we say, hey, are this going to be the same strains? Because we have to start making that vaccine in January, February, March in order to have enough doses for using it now. So we have to decide early what strains we're going to go with, and then we're going to hope that those strains haven't changed by the time we hit flu season.
Do you think the fact that around here the last couple of years we've had a very mild flu season was the result of masking and taking other precautions because of COVID?
Absolutely. If you look at what we did, all the mitigation factors, people, you know, if we say, hey, we want to get rid of this, well, we continue all those mitigation, but certainly you can't do that in this, you know, and live in a society that's interactive. But certainly that was the big thing. Look at what we were doing at that time. We were masking. We were looking at social distancing. We were washing our hands. We were very protective. So all of those things had a huge impact on an infectious disease that spreads by doing all the things that the mitigation took us away from.
Right. Talking with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Mose, as we do every Monday morning. All right, let's talk about the study du jour about caffeine and coffee, Dr. Most. It seems that most of the research lately is all pointing to the fact that coffee is healthy. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm not a coffee drinker. I still can't figure out why people drink water that they washed beans with. But
hot bean juice, that's what I call it.
Exactly. But really, when we look at it from a health-related field, it certainly does. We know that, you know, if you take 3 to 5 cups of it, it actually decreases your chance of coronary calcium building up. We know that it's neuroprotective. So as we look at diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, we certainly see that it has a neuroprotective. And it's high in antioxidants, which is really nice because if people understand antioxidants, free radicals are bad. We'll just say they're bad chemicals. They break things. They break DNA. They damage cells. And antioxidants block free radicals. So they're essentially the repair system. So foods and liquids that are high in antioxidants are actually going to be good for cancer protection as well as even aging.
Are you worried about people with too much caffeine in their system?
Well, certainly too much caffeine is going to increase your heart rate, increase your blood pressure. I think that probably the biggest thing is if we talk about this being a health-related health-related drink, we're not talking about and I don't want to pick on Starbucks, but we don't want to talk about the Starbucks with the caramel and the extra sweeteners and the foam, you know, the whipped cream and all that. I mean, that's a diabetic nightmare there. But, you know, these studies were looking at individuals who are drinking, you know, 5 to 8 ounces of regular coffee. But certainly the increased rate of caffeine, you know, we see it in Monster power drinks and with kids, probably not a great idea. Certainly the caffeine will help stimulate your brain, but really does not do a whole heck of a lot more from a health-related view.
People seem to be more conscious about getting their water these days. Does a cup of coffee count as water?
Yeah, it really does. You know, people say, oh, you know, you don't drink coffee because it dehydrates you. Caffeine is a diuretic. Well, it certainly is offset by the amount of water that is in there. I mean, essentially, you're drinking a whole cup of water. So certainly, as we look to keep ourselves well hydrated, because we know the health benefits of that, coffee does count towards those.
What about weight loss and coffee?
Well, you know, a few things with that. One is it kind of depends on the individual. Certainly, it increases your basal metabolic rate, so your BMR will go up a little bit for a short period of time. Whether that's due to caffeine and increased heart rate is one thing. But also, we have to look at what are you doing with that coffee. If you're having it with a donut, then probably you've just offset the benefits there. But if you're just having that as that's my morning drink on the way to work, you know, certainly there's going to be a little bit of a benefit there, but not much.
I'm not a coffee drinker either. I like like my tea, and it seems that most of the studies I've read, green tea over black tea for health benefits. Anything to that?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and people have to understand that green tea and black tea come from the exact same plant. You know, it's just that the black tea has been oxidized, so it's allowed to dry in the sun or dry in open air, where the green tea is processed much more quicker. Now, both of them are very high in antioxidants. You know, that's heart protective. They'll decrease bad cholesterol and decrease triglycerides. Now, some people are going to say that green tea has a better cancer protection, which probably is true, and black tea has a better heart protection. But certainly you're looking at it from an antioxidant point of view, and the way they process those increases those. Now, you know, you heard antioxidants in coffee, you heard antioxidants in tea. People have to understand the importance of antioxidants, and like I hope, you know, just in those couple seconds I explained that, but also understand that we have foods that are very high in antioxidants, blueberries, strawberries, spinach, and, you know, the guy sitting to your left, kale, you know, it's very high in antioxidants and really is very good for our health.
Dave, you drinking kale juice this morning?
Yes. Yes. Always.
And is coffee really a hangover cure, Doc?
No, it's not. You know, people say, oh, I'm going to have a cup of coffee to sober up. It doesn't sober you up. It does not take away any of the effects of alcohol. It makes you more alert, but it really does not sober you up. And people have to understand that doing that and then saying, oh, I'm going to have a cup of coffee before I drive is probably not a great idea. As a matter of fact, not probably, is not a great idea.
All right, duly noted. And we'll talk to you next Monday morning. Thank you, as always.
You got it. Take care.